You're listening to Brand, the marketing show with your hosts, Thomas Sterling.
But now's the time. Giddy up and go.
And Veronica St. Cyr.
So on brand, I will take it.
An unfiltered conversation on brand strategy.
That's where the best work happens.
Marketing trends.
They're keeping it relevant.
And emerging technology.
$1 billion. That's when you know you made it.
You're excited.
I'm pumped.
All right, let's kick things off.
You know, there's a difference between being relevant and being loud. Today on the show...
See, there's a difference.
Today on the show, we're diving into how brand equity is earned and eroded, not just through product or price, but through narrative consistency, cultural timing, and the power of great advertising. What are your thoughts on this, Veronica?
Well, we all know advertising isn't just about awareness. It's about market influence. A single campaign can ignite a brand revival or expose a strategic shift. We're seeing CMO roles declining, AI hype rising. The line between bold and tone deaf has never been thinner. We've seen that become a razor's edge, right? Over the past few years, the access to social media, you have people able to make a comment really quickly. Brands are able to pivot really quickly. But if you're a brand that's built all that equity, you got to make sure that whatever you're doing is either in line with it, or if it's a new direction, it's pointing in a direction that makes sense for you.
And these are two brands that we've wanted to cover on the show a long time and made a lot of excuses not to cover.
Yeah, it was like, they're too powerful. We couldn't possibly. It's actually crazy we haven't.
I'm pumped. Let's do it.
It's showtime.
Well, I'm back. I feel real good about myself. You know what I mean? So, without further delay.
All right, so Apple or Nike, what's it going to be?
I'm going to just do it.
All right, then get into it.
Here we go. Nike, founded in the 60s by Phil Knight and Bill Bowerman, have been working with the same agency for a very long time. They have sustained quite an incredible market position. They own 30% of the athletic apparel market.
That is insane.
Globally. Nike's marketing style, which a lot of us are probably familiar with, you can't really get away from it. It's iconic. It's recognizable. Bold, emotional, athlete-led storytelling. Lots of black and white, very simple, maybe one fragment of a sentence, a few words, the swoosh, a photo of the athlete. That's kind of been their formula for a really long time. They have been known for fueling cultural narratives and, again, focusing on this purpose-driven campaign style that has seemed to serve them quite well.
Apple, on the other hand, founded by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, if there's enough time for him to get any credit in the story,
oh, buddy.
1976, in an infamous garage, Palo Alto, challenging the status quo, challenging the computer industry, inviting you to think different, iconic advertising that in a lot of ways changed the game, an iconic looking product, a product that people wanted to have, to hold, to use, because it showed they think different and in a lot of ways inspired people and their creative spirit. Maybe not everyone being super creative, but people wanting to be creative. And so that was, in a lot of ways, a consistent brand promise that has made them an iconic brand. And they've been successful. What? $3 trillion valuation, one of the most valuable and recognized tech companies in the world. And what? Everyone in their pockets except yours and others, right?
Hey.
1.5 billion iPhone users worldwide.
I'm going to finally get an iPhone. I'll make it 1.56.
You're not going to change that number, unfortunately. So rewinding the tape and taking a hard look at Apple's brand evolution, first ad for them to get tremendous notoriety was that 1984 Super Bowl spot. I don't know if you saw it or you've seen it over the years, but the person charges into the room and throws a hammer into the screen in a scenery based off of the famous 1984 Orwell book that documents about what a not-so-distant future, horrible future is. And it's in some ways a precursor to this concept of thinking different. They're challenging the status quo. They're saying that the future and technology aren't going to be this awful evil thing, right? And that maybe technology has a positive role in our not so distant future. In 1997, the Think Different campaign came out, where Apple aligned themselves with visionaries like Albert Einstein, Gandhi. No Jordan, he wasn't available for the photo shoot. But really, they were trying to align themselves with these creative misfits and really challenge the status quo, be the opposite of IBM. And it really, really worked for them. And then Jobs passes away. And in 2011 and on, Cook takes over. And he's embedded himself throughout that organization. He was the picked successor. But a lot of people would argue that from that moment, started to lose some of that essence, some of that feel. You talked about Nike and what Nike feels like and what some of the experience that they create. When I think of Nike, I think of the archetype, the hero and the rebel. When I think of Apple, I think of the explorer. But in a lot of ways, part of that explorer quality, they've come back from. They've played it safe. And I think that that shows up in the advertising and the marketing that they're putting out into the world.
It's almost like they conquered the world globally and they went as far as they think they could. They ran to the finish line and they said, we'll stop here. We have this much market share. We have this percentage of the population that is using an iPhone. We're making everyone with an Android feel like shit. We don't maybe need to like go further than we've gone. They used to be synonymous with humans' quest for innovation with this cool factor where you were almost a part of it as an average consumer, and they've lost that.
If your whole brand essence in some ways is about challenging status quo and you're the David against the Goliath and one morning you wake up as the Goliath, you have to reckon with that. And I want to play a clip that actually comes from Steve Jobs that I think has some startling similarities to where I feel Apple finds themselves today.
If you were a product person at IBM or Xerox, so you make a better copy or a better computer, so what? When you have a monopoly market share, the company's not any more successful. So the people that can make the company more successful are sales and marketing people. And the product people get driven out of decision-making forums. And the companies forget what it means to make great products. It sort of the product sensibility and the product genius that brought them to the to that monopolistic position gets rotted out by people running these companies who have no conception of a good product versus a bad product.
As they say on the internet, that clip aged like spoiled milk.
Well, and I mean, this isn't necessarily a direct critique on Tim Cook, but you see headlines where now you're seeing that the Apple's design team is reporting directly to Tim Cook. You see oustages of other members of the Apple family, senior leadership, product leaders, etc., that are moving on. And they've become the 800-pound gorilla in the space. And so, I don't know, in some ways, Nike has been able to sort of keep this like cool factor to their brand. They've been able to manage when there's been PR firestorms or issues. Apple's had some real challenges lately.
Nike has retained their challenger mindset, all focused on empowering athletes, right? Early campaigns were tied to more running culture. Just Do It launched in 1988. They've had that for a very long time. And that became such an incredible defining slogan for grit. Obviously, Air Jordan, big part of the Nike story. We have the Air Force Ones, the Air Maxes that have become streetwear staples. So you've seen a lot of athletic apparel with Nike that started to come off of the field and onto the street with the, you know, even Drake and Future, the rappers referencing the Jumpman logo in music. You've had self-lacing shoes from Back to the Future. Those are Jordans. Again, all built off of this Nike brand. Now, this is a brand that has also come under some fire and had some tension. So we might remember when Colin Kaepernick kneeled for the national anthem during a game. That was his silent protest for what was going on in the country. People started burning Nike gear. And what did Nike do? They didn't walk it back. They didn't apologize. They didn't cut ties. They turned that into a campaign. And they launched this very bold, emotional, black and white campaign ad called Believe in Something. And the takeaway from that is a picture of Colin Kaepernick's face. This is like the poster. And it says, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. And to see a brand with that much market share say, fuck that, we're double clicking into this, we're standing 10 toes down on who we've been, yeah, maybe they're still going to have people that are going to burn some stuff or go buy Under Armour gear, but that's who the brand is. That's who they've connected to. Super Bowl ad, first ad in, did you know that? 27
years. I didn't believe that.
Did you just like assume that they always had Super Bowl ads? Like they're so ingrained in our culture that it's like, oh yeah, like you just, I don't know.
I mean, that's a true sign a brand is doing good stuff.
Yeah.
If you think that they've been advertising and they're not even right? doing it because their regular ads kind of fit within what you would consider to be that production quality right. and you're talking about the brand and thinking about the brand, you see Nike everywhere.
This ad, so when, I mean, we have to play a clip of it.
Let's do it.
You can't take credit. You can't speak up. You can't be so ambitious.
You can't break records.
You can't have any fun.
You can't make demands.
You can't be proud.
You can't keep score.
You can't stand out.
Whatever you do, you can't win. So win.
So great. So a little bit of Zeppelin in the background and narrated by Doechii, up and coming and absolutely beloved rapper. First Super Bowl ad in 27 years, right? Features all of these incredibly talented women athletes that the brand works with. Most watched Nike Instagram video ever in the brand's history. 66 million views in a single day.
That's incredible.
Like they came out of the fucking fences swinging, right? They are seizing this viral moment in sports. And we're seeing this again as a broader trend that they're tapping into. We're seeing e.l.f. Cosmetics run the first ever makeup ad during the Super Bowl this past year as well, right? Because they're like, how many women are watching sports? This is an untapped market, which funny enough, in the Netflix show Running Point starring Kate Hudson about a professional basketball team in LA, the main character discovers the exact same insight and gets Sephora to name the jerseys and sponsor the fictional LA Waves team for that exact same reason of just saying, are we paying attention to this other part of the market share? But that wouldn't work if this was just a timely choice that Nike was going to focus on for maybe one campaign, maybe a certain sprint, right? And then they're going to ditch this and go to something else. It's not a brand making their logo rainbow for Pride Month. This is who they've been. So it makes sense that they're going to continue
to do
authentic.
This. It's authentic. It's consistent.
Yeah. It's
the audience expects it.
Exactly. And we've had Steve Jobs even talk about Nike being one of the most incredible brand stories for staying true to brand essence. And we've had the former Nike CMO even give us some great talking points about staying true to this brand's purpose.
Let's play the clip.
Holding on to your authenticity standards, if you will pay dividends. Even if there's some moments where you miss out in the short term, right? Because maybe there was a bright, shiny object that was blinking, right? But you really got to assess if that's right for you. And this is you know, what I used to do. The audience that I'm trying to reach or serve, can they clearly make the connection between who we are and what maybe who we're partnering with, or is it unclear, right? Or have we made it, have we brought that relationship to life in a way that is both inspiring and meaningful and authentic so that it's just, there's no question with that.
I think what I really appreciate about what he just said is how clear they are on their goal and their focus. And if we compare these two brands, Apple, a tough year for Apple, and in a marketing and advertising perspective, four major ad campaigns pulled in 12 months.
That's
one,
so bad.
One specifically around AI, right? They had a partnership with Bella Ramsey, and this is one of the cast members from The Last of Us, and she's walking around in this commercial and using the phone and showcasing all this fancy AI functionality that's deeply rooted in the device. And they have to pull it a few months later because none of that stuff actually works. And another one that really circulated on the internet was pulled down immediately from all platforms within a day was them launching an ad where a college student was giving out a pitch deck and explaining how you could sell your parents on getting you a Mac for school.
Desperate.
Like, I'm sorry, but you've been the category leader in that space. Now you've taken four steps back and you're like, it's just, you it's said weird. Desperate. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I'd love to talk about some other brands that lost their groove. Jaguar. We saw it. It was a thing that happened. Jaguar's rebrand was a pretty significant flop. It was made fun of a lot all over the internet for trying to go hyper, hyper modern and leaving this like old money energy that it had.
Well, they had to do something.
Yeah, right. Had to launch their pink EV. Sales are down 97% in the EU in Q2 of 2025. Wow. KFC got some major backlash with their gravy cult commercial. This aired during the Super Bowl. It drew religious backlash. Part of me feels like the only reason that happened is because of Chick-fil-A being like a super religious brand. You have another fried chicken brand that's then like, we're going to be the hedonist brand. We're going to, I don't know what the thought was there, but definitely pissed off some churchgoers with that one. And Southwest Airlines, they have this like their fair share model shift, their fare model shift really confused and alienated loyalists with assigned seating and baggage fees. It was kind of like they were always the antithesis of other.
They gave up on their part of their brand promise.
Yeah, like in a really weird way. So they drew a lot of backlash from that with folks that were like pretty loyal about flying Southwest and might want to give Spirit a roll of dice.
Oh gosh. Well, brands that are on the up and up, Gap is back in a lot of ways. They're riding this nostalgic wave. Gap, for years, has had declining sales, and really since the 90s, early 2000s, has been trying to work towards a comeback. And in a lot of ways with fashion, you wait long enough, things that go out of style work their way back in. But the Feels Like Gap campaign is doing really well, and their sales are up. Another brand that's really winning in the game right now is Zinn. For polarizing ads, we may not love the brand, we may hate the brand, but they've done a really interesting job of leading with a bold, and in a lot of ways, a PR-strong, campaign-driven program.
Yeah, those tobacco pouches, you would see them with like women in Sweden packing lips of those, and then Philip Morris bought it, and they just absolutely exploded in the U.S. market. Pack a lip was in.
And now for something completely different.
So if we had to put this to work, first, don't confuse minimalism with emptiness. Apple's brand was once a masterclass in restraint. Now it's muted. And their recent campaigns and pulled ads show what happens when you take a clean aesthetic and it becomes a creative crutch. If the brand voice is quiet, make sure that it's saying something. Next, you can't outsource cultural relevance. Nike doesn't just show up at an opportune moment. They show up consistently and authentically, and they're rewarded for it. Third, the world moves fast, and brand clarity moves even faster. When you pull four campaigns in 12 months, people take notice. It's not a coincidence. It's a symptom of brand confusion. Know your tone, know your point of view, and know the difference between feedback and fear. Also, brands don't need to be for everyone, just someone. Nike is unapologetically itself. Apple feels like it's asking the room for what it should say next. In a time when every brand wants to be everything, the brave ones pick a lane, and that lane becomes a movement. Finally, playback isn't a comeback. Heritage is not a strategy. If your brand's leaning too hard into the history, but not evolving with the world around it, you're not a legacy brand. You're just stuck. Nike brought its roots into the future, and I don't know, Apple's still buffering?
He got me invested in some kind of fruit company. And so then I got a call from him saying, we don't have to worry about money no more. And I said, that's good. One less thing.
If you had to take anything away from the episode today, Veronica.
I guess I would say the biggest risk in today's market isn't about being too bold. It's not knowing who the hell you are when the moment calls.
And mine would be, in 2025, it's not about having the biggest campaign. It's about having the clearest one. And with that, we're out, folks.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, smash the subscribe button or listen wherever you get your podcasts. We're out of here.